It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1. We're going to begin reading with the 18th verse today. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. So if you would please open your Bibles and prepare for the study. I will share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us by phone, 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to prepare for the study. And I ask that you please look to the website, too, because we have many studies up on the website. We have the plan of salvation. We have our church constitution. And that way, if you want to know where we stand and how we stand upon the precious Word of God, why, it'll make it very, very clear to you. So please open your Bibles now and hope you're ready to read Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And we're going to stop there because I'm sure that's all the further we'll get today. And let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, I just ask that you would guide and lead us today through your precious word. Show us exactly what we're to learn today. This study, Father, as you know, your word is very clear, and man has changed your precious word to meet their own ways, their own standards. They've left the truth. So please today, through this study and the next studies to come, that you will help us to make it so clear and help folks to understand that this is the Word of God and this is the way it's to be. So please, bring those that are lost to salvation today. Bring them to the cross of Calvary where they can meet the Lord Jesus and ask Him into their heart and begin that personal relationship that they need to have with their God, with Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, took their sins away, shed His blood for all the world. But unless we come and turn, all we need to do is just turn, Father. We know that. You've made it so simple for salvation. So please help us to do that. Help us to come and call upon your Son Jesus today. Today is the day of salvation. Please. Now touch every heart as we study this precious word of yours. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this study, it's so wonderful to study the Word of God, and it's just such a joy to study and to learn and to grow, to abide in the Lord Jesus. These first 17 verses was kind of an introduction. It was a kind of get started. But from the 18th verse of chapter 1 through the 3rd chapter, verse 20, we are going to examine how our God looks at sin, where He stands on many things. Some of those we have decided that we're going to ignore. But we're going to look to what the Word of God clearly tells us. We will see the guilty world and the wrath of God. And this wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and wickedness. That's what we're going to look at in these next several verses of Scripture. So, now we need to see sin. We are here to see it as it is. Ungodly, wicked. So let's take our time. Let's look at this again. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now there is only one truth, and that is the Word of God. When men begin to change that, and they begin to turn away from God, that's when the world begins very quickly to deteriorate. That's when men's minds become so perverted that they can't even think straight. And we have a terrible time in this world right now with that. Some of the awful crimes that go on, and the way people are looking and changing the Word of God to their own liking, it is to their own damnation. The only way we can see sin, ours, the only way you can see mine, the only way you can see yours, is by the light of God's holiness. So the further people get away from the Word of God, the more corrupt and evil people become. And they come, as we'll make reference later, to almost to a level of being a beast. And we see that today. We see that awful wickedness today. And it's because man has rejected that there is a God. He has brought God down to their level. He has taken the holy Word of God and changed it, and that's what we have. And today, when we see so many, whether it be in the press or whether it be in our political scene of today, that deny the Word of God, we can expect them to continue to be more and more evil until they will come by faith to Jesus and be saved, and then they will begin to see. And the light that is shining on them right now, on you right now, by the Word of God, is convicting your heart, showing you how much of a sinner you are, how much of a sinner I am, and how much I need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to see the wrath of God poured out. We need to see, if we could see how much God hates sin, how much God hates wickedness, and he lists it in these next few verses here. So just you hold on. We're probably not going to get to those today, but in the next couple of times that we're together, we will. And you may be surprised what the Word of God says. And the Word of God does not change over time. The Word of God is God's complete, perfect Word, and we need to take it for exactly what it tells us. And so please listen ever so carefully and ever so prayerfully. And your prayer first needs to be, Jesus, please come into my heart and save me that I may have this light. We need to see our sin and how wicked and how much God hates that sin. His holy wrath against all ungodliness and wickedness. We need to see that. Because when we see that, then we'll come on our knees with tears in our eyes saying, Jesus, save me. Save me. We don't see that today. We don't see that level of turning, that level of repentance, because we do not see how much God hates sin. God hates sin. And he's going to bring his wrath down upon it. The only means of of saving or salvation that we have is through His Son, Jesus. It's the only way. So please come. And there's something that has to happen to each one of us. It happened to me. It needs to happen to you. And that is that you need to be lost. You need to see this wrath of God. You need to see how God hates sin. And at the same time, you'll see your sin. And you'll see how wicked you are, how wicked I was. He showed me so clearly. And I am by such a far cry. The only time I'm going to be perfect is when I am face to face with my Lord Jesus. But He is doing a work with me. And He's going to do a work with you. But to begin with, the first thing that happens is that God takes, through the Lord Jesus, takes your sin away if you'll just believe. And so then when God the Father looks down, He just sees the precious blood of Jesus. And we still live in the flesh, so we still make mistakes and still sin, and we need to continue to ask God to strengthen us. And of course, when we are born again, when we're saved for the first time, we have the power and the strength to have victory over sin. Prior to that, we don't. So you need to come by faith to Jesus. You need to recognize that you're lost before you can ever be saved. And when we see sin, we sure know and sure recognize how great the love of God is, how great His grace is. And, you know, God is love, and God is a consuming fire. Don't forget that. The words you hear always is God is love. Oh, God won't send anybody to hell. God's love. Well, the lies of the devil and those that carry those lies forward, they're even trying to convince themselves that there is no hell. Well, there is. There's a hell to shun and there's a heaven to have victory for. And so please, come to Jesus today. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 says that the natural heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's our condition before we come to Jesus. And God hates that. Understand that. God hates that. Now, He loved the sinner. And that's the problem with so much today. When people are forgiving these sins, and they says, well, God loves you, and when you say that you hate that sin and God hates that sin, they seem to think that we're in the wrong. But the Word of God tells us very clearly that God hates that sin. Now, He loves that sinner, but He loves that sinner enough that He died for that sinner that they would come by faith to Him and be saved. I was a sinner. I was lost. I needed a Savior, and I called on Jesus for my salvation. You need to do the same. And then you don't stay the same. You begin, by the power of God, He begins to make you new. So please, you get a brand new heart. Your sins are forgiven as far as the east is from the west. Let's start getting rid of them. Understanding that the natural man, his heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, again, as Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, this being true, the natural heart refuses to face the truth and to walk in the truth. They don't want anything to do with the truth, the Word of God. So many today call themselves Christians. They call themselves Christians. They say, I'm a Christian, and yet they do not have a personal relationship with Jesus. I'm not forcing you to come. I'm asking you to come. It's an invitation because it'll be the most wonderful life you'll ever experience if you just come. If you choose not to, then the day that you die, you will go to hell. That's not my saying. That's the Word of God. It's so clear. God's truth is very evident. And this truth is brought to us not only through the preaching of the Word of God, but through His very creation, nature, shows us without question. This 18th verse again, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Romans 8:7. "The carnal mind is enmity against God." The natural mind hates God. But when you get a new heart, you begin to understand the love of God. And once again, for us to understand how much that we naturally hate God and want nothing to do with God or His Word, and yet He died for us in that condition? Yes, He did. And He is not demanding that you surrender to Him. He is offering you a free gift, and that gift is salvation. And there is no greater gift that you'll ever receive than the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please call upon Him today. Trust in Him. Jesus makes it very clear in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me." There is no other way. You'll hear people say, "Well, I don't believe in this personal relationship. I'm very dedicated to church. I serve in church. Or I'm a part of another religion somewhere. And we're just coming about a different way." There's only one way. There's only one way. And that is through Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me." And that's John 14:6, if you'd like to look that up. He's the only way. He is the truth. He is life. Please understand that. If you don't trust in Jesus, you're calling God a liar. Did you realize that? If you do not come by faith to Jesus and ask Him to be your personal Savior, if you don't believe that, you're calling God a liar. Let's take a look at a verse of Scripture that will back that up. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10. "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son." Calling God a liar. The whole thing boils down to the final point, that when a sinner hears the gospel message and refuses to receive it in the true sense of the Word of God, if he refuses it, then he does not believe. Now, I can't stress enough how important it is that you come by faith to Jesus Christ. I would love for you to come here and learn and grow in the Word of God with us, but that's not the point. The point is today, the point is that you study, that in order for you to learn and study the Word of God, you must be born again. It starts there. It starts there, and so you must come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must receive that simple message, that plan of salvation, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Realize, recognize, Jesus died for you. If you reject Jesus, if you reject His death, His burial, His resurrection, if you reject that Jesus died for all of your sins, if you reject the fact that there is a literal hell, you will find that it is true. There is a literal hell, and you will be there if you neglect such a special free gift of salvation. Got a couple scripture verses here. John chapter 3, verse 36. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Very clear. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Personal relationship with Jesus. Let's look at 3:18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. How important is it to trust in Jesus? It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. The single greatest decision you'll ever make. It will change your life when you come by faith to Jesus and begin to walk with him. Let's look now at the 19th and 20th verse. We're going to read those two verses together. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I'm going to read verse 18 through 20 once again together. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God gives much proof of his existence. There is no question that there is a superior being. Jehovah lives. He is the creator of the world. And he has shown his power and his strength through this tremendous, wonderful, beautiful creation. And then the creation of man. And no matter how man tries to explain that this is going wrong and man's perverted this and polluted this, God is in control. Our God has set this world a-spinning, and the moon around it, the earth around the sun, the whole Milky Way, everything that we know as far as the creation is concerned, that scientists have learned, the speed of everything, God has put all that into place. And the scripture is pretty clear that for you to believe in evolution and not to believe in a single creation, God spoke it into existence. He did it in six days, rested on the seventh. And if you believe otherwise, God, not me, the Word of God calls you a fool. Because we need to recognize who God is, that he is our creator. And when you recognize that he is our creator, then you'll begin to recognize how much he hates sin and how much sin we have in us and how much we need to surrender and bow down on our knees and worship him and call upon him. And there's much evidence here to prove that. That which may be known of God, the scripture says, or a little bit clearer, that which is knowable concerning God. There are many things that we don't understand. We can't understand someone that has no beginning and no end, so his existence. We don't understand his power. We can't understand his great perfect wisdom. We can't understand his perfect justice. But there is much that we can understand. And so we need to, there is sufficient knowledge of God for us to know that he is the creator. He created all the world, all the universe. There is enough evidence to know and to recognize that we're the sinners, we're lost, and that God the Father sent Jesus, his Son, to die on the cross for us. because we're lost sinners. God, the wrath of God is upon sin. And the only way we can get out from under that judgment, under that wrath, is to call upon Him as our Savior. And He will save us. Because you see, Jesus took our sin for us. But if you don't come to Him and accept Him as your personal Savior, the death of Jesus will be of no value to you, because you must believe in Him. Psalms 19, verses 1 through 3. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The presence of God. Heaven and nature clearly teach us two things about God: His eternal power and His Godhead. Nature teaches us that there must be a creator, a superior being, a master. And since He is, or as you may say, if He is the creator, then He ought to be worshipped, and He is worthy of all of our worship. And I don't use the word if there, I use the word since. He is the creator. You know, all people of the earth, regardless of where they live, know that there's a God, a supreme being somewhere. You can go into the darkest part of Africa, and you will find them, the people there, always worship something. They may be worshiping the sun or the moon or a stone or a wooden statue or something, but they worship something. Now, why is that? It's because in their heart there's a void, and they're trying to fill that void because they know there is a superior being, someone to worship. Now, we have atheists today that say there is no God. Well, we talk about coming to the Lord Jesus by faith, believing that He died on the cross to save you. Well, I have that faith. But when I look at the thought of an atheist believing that this all just evolved into place, now there's someone that's got faith. That's the most foolish thing, to think that there is not one single creator of all the world. And that creator also come to save us, because God can't stay in sin. And so the Son of God came to seek and to save those that are lost, to save them. Please understand that all mankind is without excuse. This program has three purposes. We've been on for many, many years. The first, that you would come by faith to Jesus and be saved. The second is that you will grow. And the third, that by the proclaiming of the clear word of God, that anyone that has heard one program will be without excuse. But God doesn't need this program for you to be without excuse, because God has given us so much evidence that if you're rejecting, ignoring Him, you will be without excuse, without excuse. Please be saved. Please come by faith to Jesus. We will begin here next time. I'm going to ask you, as I always do, what are you going to do about Jesus?